thanks for your prayer, for your prayers for my wife. She's under the weather for the last 3 days, and I was hoping that I would be under the weather too, so I could ask Brother Bob to speak. But a lot of things he read this morning was actually connected to what I have to say today, and also meetings downstairs in the adult study, some of those thoughts came out. So you'll see that in my message today. Okay. Something else I want to share today is, normally I use my laptop, I'm sorry, my iPad for my notes, and I brought the iPad this morning, and what happened was it has this, they goes off after a little while, but it was completely on all of last night, so lost the charge. But always, as I always do, I always have a backup, so I brought my computer along. So some of you know, if you've worked with me, both my office or here, I always want a backup or plan B for whatever we do. And it came out useful today. So it's good to have a backup in whatever you do. But anyway, what I'd like to share to you today is our perception, of the loss of God or the loss that we have. And oftentimes we, in our behavior as believers, it is the understanding or the perception we have of the things that we know of, studied in the scriptures. So that's my thought here. So hopefully I'm going to use some certain examples, maybe a couple of disciples and their perception of the things, the way they understood certain things, and then how they responded to that, and how the Lord Jesus, addressed some of the things that they did. So, boy, my computer is. So I like to. Let me get this computer straight. Okay. The first question I want to ask you today is. When the Lord Jesus started his ministry, he spent a great deal of time teaching. He used parables, right? The Sermon on the Mount, and he used, spent time with the disciples, like a small group, and he also taught them by example. Now, if you are to consider all this teaching, and what would you consider is one of the most important things that he has taught in his teaching?
That he was the Son of God.
Yes, but what else? In terms of instruction, what is it that he? We can all answer this differently. There are probably correct answers, but what do you think? Before the Lord left the world, he was crucified and left. What is it that's the most important thing he taught the disciples, or told the disciples, instructed the disciples?
Spread the gospel.
Spread the gospel is one. What else?
Love one another as I have loved you.
That's what I was thinking. Love one another as I have loved you. I think he, if you go back and read the upper room in John chapter 13 through 16, you will notice that a number of times he repeats it. Love one another as I have loved you. And that was exactly what I was thinking. But how do you do that, right? How is it that you can love one another as I have loved you, as Christ has loved you? It is very difficult to do. It's easier said. We can say it, we can memorize it, repeat it, but how do you really do that, okay? Now, hopefully I'll bring my thoughts together as I share this morning. And this is John chapter 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And then he says, how you do that? How do you love one another? He says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. See? And by this all will know that you're my disciples. That's the reason for that. The how and the why. By this all will know that you're my disciples. You have love one for another. You know, when the Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus to test him, they asked him a question, right? Which is the greatest commandment in the law? What was the Lord Jesus' response? He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22, 37 and 4 through 40. Everything else in the law hinges on these two laws. Love, isn't it? Love. Love God, love your neighbor. It's so critical that you understand this, you see, as believers. Because everything else hinges on that. So in the New Testament, you know, when he gave his new commandment, he added to that law. He didn't say the Old Testament is invalid anymore, but he adds to it and says, this is the new commandment of the New Testament, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. Why? So that the world might know that you are my disciples. Another little illustration, okay, of how you perceive these laws, okay? In the Sermon on the Mount, what is the Lord Jesus doing? As he began his ministry, his first sermon, he's establishing the laws of his kingdom. He, as king, is stating what the laws are of his kingdom. Okay? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and 21. Notice what the Lord Jesus is saying here. You have heard that it was said of those of old, you shall not murder. And look, notice verse 22. But I say unto you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. But what I want to point out to you is he repeats this over and over again. You have heard, or you have been taught certain things, but I say unto you. Again, notice verse 27. Verse 27, you have heard that it was said in those of old, you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You notice the difference here. And what I'd like you to notice is what you have been taught over the years, but what I say unto you. Here's the lawgiver himself interpreting the law that he has given, right? And notice verse 31. Again, he says, further, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, okay, and then he says, verse 32, but I say unto you. And he repeats it over and over again in verse 33. Again, you have heard it said of old, you shall not swear falsely, but I say unto you, in verse 34, do not swear at all. Verse 38, you have heard it said that an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you, but you should not take revenge, right? But I thought that was interesting. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was the lawgiver. He was God. If you do believe he was God, this is how he interprets the law. And in this kingdom, that's what's going to be like, right? Here's his law. But so the interpretation of the law is critical. You see, for us to observe that particular teaching or instruction that the Lord has given us. again, you notice the when the Pharisees brought the adulterous woman on John chapter 8, you see, to test him, he said, this woman has committed adultery. The law says she should be stoned to death. But the Lord, what does the Lord say? Those who have not sinned may cast the first stone. See, the Lord Jesus is interpreting the law there. The Pharisee says the law said, but the Lord Jesus said, whoever has no sin may cast the first stone. How many of them cast the stone at the woman? Nobody, right? Everybody left the scene. So the interpretation of the law is important for us, right? Especially the law we want to consider today is the law of love. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, what is the prerequisite to love one another? How can you love one another? That's right. You know, the love of Christ came out earlier today in our study downstairs. It is a response. Once you understand how much the Lord has loved you, you see, you there will be a response. But if you don't quite understand it right, then your response is going to be different. You see? And we look at a few examples today. And I'd like to use a couple of disciples and how they interpreted love. Okay? Let's go to the upper room, John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 21. Okay, when Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed, about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now in this story or scene, you see four people, right? Four characters. And who are the four characters? You see Jesus, of course, right? Jesus is the Son of God. He is God the Son. He's the second person of the Godhead. He's the creator, sustainer of the universe. He's our Redeemer. Okay? And in John chapter 1, earlier this morning we read, he loves his own to the end. To the end. Do you understand that? We talked about it this morning. We're not going to get into it again. He loved his own to the end. That'll never change, right? He loved his own to the end. And shortly he'll demonstrate it by sacrificing his life for us, for our sins. But the purpose for which he was sent was for that, right? For to die for the sin-cursed earth. Okay, so Jesus is there who loved his own. His love. Now, well, the second character is Judas, right? We're getting ready to betray the Lord Jesus with no love at all in his heart. So you see the difference in all these four people I'm going to share here. And how about John? John is delighting himself in the love of Christ. He's leaning on Jesus' breast, you know, just like a baby leans on his mother's breast, right? Just enjoying the presence of the baby's mother. So John is just delighting himself in the love of Christ. He describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And then you have Peter. How do you describe Peter's love? Well, let's go back and look at a few verses. John chapter 13 here. Look at another verse. I've got lots of verses here. Luke chapter 22 and verse 23. Again, this happened in the upper room. Luke chapter 22 and verse 23. Let me read this. A little later, with genuine love to the Lord, he can say, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Although all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended. These are the words of Peter. I'm ready to go into prison and to death, but even if everyone is offended with you, but I will never be offended. I will never deny you. Now, what is the definition of going to prison and death? I will go with you and be ready to die for you. What's the definition of that? It's love, isn't it? That's the word agape. I'll sacrifice my life for you. That's agape. It's a sacrificial love. Then we know the betrayal scene. Peter cut off Malchus's ear with the sword. What is that? What do you describe Peter's action? It's love. You see? Peter loved the Lord. But what is he doing? He's dependent on himself, right? For his love for the Lord. He's showing his love by his own dependence on himself rather than depending on the Lord. And that's the difference you see between John and Peter. See, Apostle John was dependent on the love of Christ. But Peter depended on himself, right? He showed it with his own strength. So what is the difference we see here? John is able to bask in the sunshine of Jesus' love. And he was able to enjoy spiritual nearness with the Lord. He recognized Christ's unfailing love. Unconditional love for him. And John took advantage of it, right? Knowing that Christ loved him, he was able to lean on Jesus' breast. And what happened there? Peter was sitting on the other side. Peter wanted to ask a question, but could not ask it, right? When the Lord Jesus said, someone among you is going to betray me, he had to beckon to John, ask, who is it going to betray? And the Lord was able to whisper into John's ear, so he's the one I'm going to give this bread to. And so John was able to understand the secrets. The Lord Jesus did not, you know, if you read it very carefully, the passage, he did not say out loud that this is the person I'm going to give the bread to. But he said to John that. John knew that. See, and later, of course, he must have mentioned to Peter that it was going to be Judas. So what is the lesson here for us, looking at this? You see, if you understand the love of Christ for you, you can enjoy the closeness of Christ, and you're able to ask the Lord certain things that you want to know, and he will whisper it into your ear. He will tell you. You'll understand the deep secrets of things that you want to know. The Lord reveals it to you. Now, let's look at another verse in John chapter 19. John chapter 19. And verse 25. Here in this scene, the Lord Jesus is crucified and is hanging on the cross. Notice verse 25. And there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom Jesus loved standing by. And he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into her own home, into his own home. Again, where are all the other disciples, right? I mean, the Lord Jesus has 12 disciples. Where are the rest? I guess they're fearful of the Jews and they're in hiding. But where is John? The one who understood the love of Christ for himself. He's right at the foot of the cross with the women, right? He was willing to sacrifice his own life to be there. He was taking a risk. He could be arrested. The other disciples were fearful of that. But he was right there with the rest of the women, sharing the Lord Jesus Christ's reproach as he hung on the cross. So the lesson number two here is that John was able to be a vessel fit for the master's use. Why is that? The Lord Jesus entrusts his mother to John's care. You see, Peter could not, you know, enjoy that privilege, but John had the privilege to do that. So when you rest and understand the love of God, the love of Christ for yourself, it'll make you fit for his service. He wants you to be in service for him. And he'll give you certain things to do, just like he gave John there to take care of his mother. What a privilege, right? Another little example here. Let's go to the resurrection scene. John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, as Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb, then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. They ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. This is the other disciple. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb and saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also as he saw and believed. You know, there is detail here that we should look at. So as soon as Peter and John heard that they've taken the Lord Jesus' body away, who was the first one that got out of the house to run to the tomb? It was Peter, right? Peter was the first one to get out of the tomb. I mean, out of the house to run to the tomb, because the other disciple followed. But then the detail says that then they ran together. Then John takes over. John came to the tomb first. What do you think is that? Why do you think Peter slowed down? Huh?
He's older.
That was not what I was thinking, bro.
Huh?
That's right. That's exactly what I was thinking. The guilt can slow you down, right? The guilt can slow you down. The guilt of his denial of his Lord slows him down. Yeah, he was eager to get there, but then when he started running, it started slowing down because, what if he's resurrected? How am I going to face him? Right? How am I going to face him? What's the lesson here? Spiritual progress or maturity, right? If you understand the love of Christ, you understand the love of Christ, you'll mature, spiritually speaking. You'll make spiritual progress. Look at another scene. Let's go to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verses 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. And they said to them, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning had now come, Jesus stood at the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. Now the other disciple came in the little boat, for the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Well, we are very familiar with this scene, right? The Lord Jesus is already resurrected here in this scene, right? And notice Simon Peter says, I go fishing, right? He's going into his old occupation. He was a fisherman, but the Lord Jesus changed his profession to be fishers of men. And he says, I go fishing, and what happened? And everybody said, okay, we're following you. Be careful as to whom you follow, right? Right, we're talking of discipleship. If you're careful whom you follow, sometimes they lead you in the wrong way. That's what happened here. I go fishing. He's a very professional fisherman, because James and John was with him too. They're also professional fishermen, but they caught nothing all night. The next day morning, the Lord Jesus is standing by the shore as they were pulling in with no fish in the boat. And the Lord Jesus asked them, because they did not know it was the Lord, hey, do you have any food? What was the fruit of your labor? You labored all night. What was the fruit? Remember the Lord Jesus Christ taught them in John chapter 15. For without me, you can do nothing. For without me, you can do nothing. Peter was going against the profession that the Lord Jesus has given him. But in this scene, what I like to point out is, it was John who recognized the Lord Jesus. Right? The disciple Jesus loved is the one who told Peter, it is the Lord. And what did Peter do? Again, out of shame, right? He jumped into the water. He could not face the Lord. But of course, he faced him later. But he just could not face the Lord, because he's denied him. The lesson here is, what I put down, is spiritual discernment, right? Spiritual discernment. Apostle John, because of his understanding of the love of Christ for him, he had the spiritual discernment to recognize that it was the Lord. It is from the Lord, or it is the Lord speaking to you. One more scene I'd like to show you. John chapter 21, verse 15. Because, of course, after they came back to the shore, the Lord Jesus had bread and fish ready for them on the fire of coal. Because we don't have time to go into it today. But you know the story. But let's read this here, John chapter 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And Peter says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." It is important that you recognize the word translated love in the scriptures. Okay, there's two different words used here for love. When the Lord Jesus asked him the question, "Do you love me?" he used the word agape. When Peter responded back to the Lord Jesus, he used the word phileo. So there's a difference between the two words. Peter could not use the word agape when he responded to the Lord. The Lord's question is, "Do you agape me more than these?" That's what you said. You told me that if every man denies, I will not deny you, Lord. That's the reason he asked him. "Do you love me more than these? Do you agape me more than these?" And Peter's response is that, "Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you as a friend. I just can't say I agape you." The Lord Jesus asked that question three times. Next time around, he asked you, "Do you agape me?" He left out, "Do you agape me? Do you love me?" Those are the two commandments, right? Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. The first thing is love God, and the other one should follow. Do you love me? Remember, this is the resurrected Christ who's asking this question to Peter. Do you love me? Do you agape me? Peter again said, "Lord, thou knowest I phileo you." You cannot use the word agape. In the third time around, the Lord Jesus asked, "Peter, do you phileo me?" You didn't use the word agape the third time. "Do you phileo me?" That's when Peter broke down, if you read that. Third time when he asked the question, Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I phileo you." Think about the world today. If you are the king of a kingdom, what would you do with Peter? He denied you. You're the king of your kingdom. What would you do with Peter? So how is the Lord treating Peter here? He told Peter, "Feed my sheep. If you love me, if you phileo me, then you will feed my sheep. You will love your brothers and sisters in Christ." Not just love in the sense it'd be agape love that you would feed, so that your brother or your sister will be edified, will be built up. Let's read from verse 18. This is again the Lord Jesus speaking to Peter. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you would not wish. This he spoke, signifying the death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he told him, "Follow me." What is the Lord Jesus telling him? "You said you will die for me. You will die a death, which will be a crucifixion. You'll be crucified, just like I was crucified. By in doing that, you'll glorify God, and you follow me." three things to Peter, right? You will you will be able to fulfill your wish. And in that, in doing so, you'll glorify God. But now you follow me. Three things. Verse 20, I'd like to read this. And then Peter, turning around, and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on Jesus' breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." You know, oftentimes we have a tendency to know what the other brother is going to experience, right? You know, you're more desirous of understanding what he is going to, what his life is going to be like. You know, I'm going to die a death of crucifixion. Peter's, okay? He says, "How about John?" But the interesting thing to notice here is the Lord Jesus told Peter, what your responsibility is to follow me. Be my disciple. Don't worry about the other brother. But the interesting thing you notice here is John is already following. Right? John is already following. Verse 20, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. There's four things that we notice, right? When you understand the love of Christ for yourself, the way you would respond is totally different than otherwise. Peter had some things to learn, but Apostle John understood there in John chapter 13, the love of Christ. He is the one who said the Lord Jesus loved them to the end. It was his words. He understood that truth. And today we have to understand that truth. Until and unless, just like Peter, until and unless you recognize the truth, you will not be able to love one another as Christ has loved you. That is the prerequisite to love one another, is to understand how much Christ has loved you. That is something that we have to ponder on, isn't it? This is just an example of Peter and John. But in our cases, it will be different. What we go through in our lives are going to be different. But the prerequisite is the same. Do you recognize the love of Christ for yourself? Can you say, "I'm a disciple whom Jesus loved"? Could Peter say that? John was able to say that. This is his gospel. He wrote it. He was able, he was confident, and he said that I am a disciple whom Jesus loves. Can I say that? Could Peter say that? Peter can say that. He has got the right to say it because Jesus loved him just like he loved John. Jesus' love for Peter was no different. He loved Peter. He restored Peter back and told him to be an apostle, despite him denying the Lord Jesus. And I was thinking of the corporate world. You know, we're talking about policies and procedures. We have a lot of that in my office. And they train you for these things. And one of the policies that we have is not able to use a cell phone and talk on the phone while we drive. If we get caught, you know what would happen, right? Especially when you're in company business. We're not allowed to talk on the phone while we drive. It's a policy. Maybe I'll get a warning if they catch me doing that. But the second time around, I'll be over. My job will be over. There's no second chances there. But notice the Lord Jesus, being the King of his kingdom, gave Peter an opportunity to be restored. That is the love that Peter learned from. He knew that he didn't deserve it. He knew that's the reason he went fishing. He didn't want, because he knew he's not worthy of it, to be an apostle. And the Lord Jesus restored his apostleship. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. That's the beauty of God's kingdom. If you repent of your sins, like Peter did, he repented, you will be restored. Unlike the corporate world today. It's important that you ask yourself, right? If I'm the king of my kingdom, how would I treat Peter? Right? How would you treat Peter? Well, take Peter out. How about place another brother or sister in Peter's place? If I'm a king of my kingdom, you have all the power you want. How would you treat that brother who may have failed you? See, that's the love you have to understand, the love of Christ. It took a while for Peter to grasp it. John grasped it from the very start. From John chapter 13 onwards, he was able to call himself a disciple whom Jesus loved. We ought to be able to do the same. The Lord Jesus loves each one of us. There's no difference. There's somebody doesn't have a priority and less priority for others. He loves us equally. And we can all say what John says. I'm a disciple whom Jesus loved. And once you understand that, your response is going to be different. You will be at the cross where Jesus needed you for support. Right? You'll be able to discern when he's speaking to you. You'll make spiritual progress. And you'll walk close to the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning that we were able to spend some time hearing the Lord Jesus speak, and these examples of Peter and John and how they responded to the love of Christ. Father, we pray that you help us to understand his unconditional sacrificial love for each one of us, for me, so that I could love another brother or sister just as you have loved me. Father, help us to appreciate the love of Christ so that our response to one another will be just like your response to them. Father, we thank you this morning for another opportunity to be together and to remember the Lord Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. Father, bless this new week as we start, and pray the Father that you'd use us to show forth the love of Christ to the world around us. Thank you again, Father, for this time. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Meeting is dismissed.